हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarana 6. The Jiva is a doer and enjoyer. Page 86. Vriti. Having discussed the nature of the Jiva as a doer and enjoyer, the next Adhikarana discusses on the Jiva's subservience to the Paramatma. The next Anucheda shows the dependence of the Jiva by pointing out the Jiva's nature as an amsha of Paramatma. Since the Jiva belongs to Tathasta Shakti, which is conscious by nature, he is different from matter, and even in the liberated state, the jiva does not lose his identity as an amsha, since he is by nature a shakti of the Lord. Right? Because this is an important point, is that even in the liberated state, his identity as a part of the Lord doesn't go, because the impersonalists, they want to say is that, no, now he becomes the Lord. That never happens. He always remains as an amsha. Right? That's just not going to change. Nice pile. Mm-hmm. Adhikarana 7. The jiva is always dependent on Paramatma. Anuchedas 37 to 47. Right? We see the other things. You know, we've established these points of, you know, based on Satchit and Ananda. You know, that he's conscious, he exists eternally as an amsha. He is small, right? Because otherwise they'll say we're very big. Everybody wants to think that I'm so big. And then he's a doer, because he's involved in the action by his willpower. And then he also is a enjoyer, you know? So in the material world separate from Krishna, and the material world in connection with Krishna. Right? So now that we've established this position as Sarup, then it's a matter of, okay, now further of that, because that's just basically, you can say, the Sundini understanding. Now the whole point is he's subservient to the Lord. So being subservient, that means then he'll act, he'll serve. Right? Adhikarana Prakashika. The current Adhikarana focuses on the jiva's nature of being dependent on the Paramatma. The author first states that the jiva is by nature an amsa of the Lord, and hence he is always dependent on the Lord, either in the conditioned or in the liberated state. After this, in his commentary to the Anucheda, the author refutes popular misinterpretations of the Mayavadis on the position of the jiva by citing from various shrutis and commentaries of Vaishnavacharyas. The author here establishes that the jiva is different from the Lord, and the verses describing the non-difference are meant to show that the jiva, being an amsha, has same qualities of the Lord in minute proportions. The author next elucidates that the jiva is called an amsha because he is a shakti of the Lord. The jiva's sarup is different from the gross and subtle bodies, though he is in contact with the upadis created by maya, since he has the potential to attain liberation. Okay. I think
because he can get liberated himself, that proves that...
Yes. No, what I'm just saying is here, because you've put this semicolon here.
Yes, ma'am.
But then that's like it's a separate sentence.
Okay. Should be only comma, ma'am?
I think so, and you should probably put a comma after grosser subtle bodies.
Okay.
Because then you understand, because it should be, it's when you're doing this, it should be that you can take it. The jiva sroop is different from the gross and subtle bodies, since he has the potential to attain liberation.
Okay.
That's how you tell when you make these major breaks, and if it's really made, you want to bring it out, you can put dashes like that. You know, it means if you've already used commas, then you throw that on top, and you know, like that, just keep. So that's the idea. Is you should, it's just like when you put something in parentheses, you should be able to read it without the parentheses, and it will make sense. Like that. So it's a similar kind. Hence, the jiva is superior to the unconscious material energy and is a part of the spiritual shakti of the Lord. The author further explains that the statements of Scripture describing the non-difference of the jiva and the Lord are intended to elevate the conditioned soul who identify himself with material bodies on the platform of jnana. Right? So the whole idea of these kind of aspects of knowledge is that through knowledge you're elevating yourself. Just like we were seeing, through drama you're elevating yourself. So the whole point of the Vedic position is that everything is for elevation of the jiva back to their natural position as servant of Krishna. So the paravidya is for that, and the aparavidya is also for that purpose. There's no other purpose. The statements indicating the difference between the soul and paramatma are understood by only those elevated souls who desire to perform pure bhakti. The cause of difference between the Lord and the jiva is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. Because a person, whether covered or not covered by beginningless ignorance, cannot realize Atma on his own, there must be a separate Supreme Lord who knows and gives knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.10. Thus the jiva can realize his true nature only after attaining the mercy of the Supreme Lord through the process of bhakti, right? Because before, as we're just establishing these positions that he does things, he's this and that. Because if you're a doer, then you can be engaged in bhakti. If you're not doing anything, you will be engaged in bhakti. That's why these various points that are made, they have a limit to how much they can be pushed. You know, because sometimes we'll overemphasize, like we were discussing last night, that you can overemphasize a point. And so then you're overemphasizing the point of that they're not the doer, because, you know, the Lord's energies does everything in this, he only desires and only that much, and so he's not involved in it. But then if you take it too far, well, then I'm not doing anything, then what does it matter? You know? And then the thing is, but then when I get the spiritual world, the internal potencies taking care of everything, so what am I actually doing? So, you know, am I actually a divine? You know, you can create all these different problems, but where is it created? Where's the problem created? It's not that I'm doing or not, because we go on doing things. The person who's talking this and worried about this is still talking, right? So that means they're doing. And from that, they get a particular taste. So where does the anxiety come? It comes in the sat aspect, about their actual identity, who they are. Right? So you can't overemphasize those things. That's why Brahman and Paramatma are subservient to Bhagavan. They have a meaning in as much as they're assisting there. So Krishna, through his energies, is taking care through the modes of nature. The living entities are performing action. And the jiva is engaging that in the Lord's service. Its value is only its ability to be engaged in Krishna's service. It doesn't have any more importance than that. Because otherwise we say, if it's not connected to Krishna, then it's a waste of time. Shrama Evahi Kevalam. You know. So that's the important aspect, is know how much. It's important. You know, like yesterday we were talking about management and the Shravana Kirtana process. So the process is Shravana Kirtana. Then by organization, by management, we can, you know, make wonderful arrangements, expand it so that more people can take part. But we have to understand is what's main and what's subservient. So if Brahman and Paramatma, who are non-different from the Lord, are subservient, you know, and the Shakti, which is non-different from the Lord, is subservient, you know, which includes us, then why wouldn't management be subservient to the hearing and chanting process? So it's important, but you have to know its position. Right. Yes?
All right, so the question, if Bhagavan's teacher is the supreme, why we spend so much time discussing Brahman and Paramatma? Why can't we just concentrate on the supreme teacher of the Lord and in this way develop direct relationship with him?
It means the... The main difficulty comes up is that of our conditioned state. And because of the conditioned state, then we will think we exist eternally as a doer and enjoyer, but on the material platform, not the spiritual. So when we hear about these pastimes, then we're going to we may not see them in their proper transcendental position. We're always going to be inspired hearing the pastimes. But as you get closer and closer, we may make mistakes. And the person who will say that, you know what you just mentioned, then there's also the case because they're saying, oh, this is lower, why not do the time? What are they going to say about the pastimes? He has so many pastimes with all the different devotees. So which ones are they going to... So it's only Radha and Krishna's, and which ones? The only one when he's in the bower, and only which ones when he's got his hand in Radharani's choli. You know, that's it. So it's like there's not going to be no end to that. The point is, since it's about Krishna, then they have no problem. They can listen. It's about Krishna. It's all this and that. So therefore, for the advanced devotees, it's nice. It's about Krishna. They may have more of a taste in something else. It's just like, let's say you have someone who really appreciates food. Right? But it's not that he doesn't have his favorites. But he'll appreciate all the things. Like you have the whole meal, but he may specifically appreciate the sweets. Or may specifically appreciate the fried things. Or, you know, the things with all the gravies and the very complex. Or maybe the more simple things. But he appreciates it all because he has taste. He's a rasi. Yes?
Also another important aspect is to understand the Bhagavan is the material and efficient cause. Unless we understand that, then
yes,
we don't have any confidence in the process of moving from the conditioned state to liberated state. Recently, one of my friend he commented. There was some quote which came that you're always saved by the mercy of Krishna. And he said the safety is in the material world is because of your karma, not by Krishna. Means there is a weakness in understanding how Krishna is a material and
efficient cause. They don't see Krishna's involvement.
So, as soon as we turn to bhakti, then how the whole material ambience turns into spiritual, that's where is our weakness to understand. That's why we can't move from the condition to liberated.
Right, from the material to the spiritual, that switch. So that means then in the sat aspect, there'll be a problem. Mm-hmm. There'll also be the problem of, Then in the willpower, then in the chit aspect, there'll be a difficulty in that everything goes right, I'm the doer, and when it goes wrong, it's Krishna. And then in Ananda, then it's going to be I decide what I enjoy. You know, what I like and all that. We become whimsical. Does that make sense? So all these things establish that we're not God, Krishna is. We're an umsa, we're a part and parcel. So in this, you only have to take this as far as the individual understands it. You don't have to go beyond it. So if just saying that people understand it and function, that's great. But if you find that they come up with more and more little points and all that that you have to get, then the problem comes up is that then they're going to, make the mistake is that they're going to complicate their own life without developing the Krishna consciousness. I've seen where people are discussing about how we have to focus on all these, elaborate developments of structure and organization and morality and all these things. And when you bring up, the devotional service and how you just keep it simple, when it's simple, devotional service simple. They just want that to be simple, so they don't even have to think about it. I'm already doing it. this is where the, you know, does that make sense? So you won't necessarily make that that switch between the two. You have to know what is, if Krishna says he is everything, then you have to know how is the Brahman feature and as the Shaktis. He's everywhere. You know, as he said, the cause and effect. As Paramatma, how it's, he's controlling everything. We're not controlling. And then as Bhagavan, how he's enjoying with the devotees. Yeah? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, what I see, like, generally practicing devotee, they don't make so much mistake of being the controller and enjoyer, because, but being the friend of everyone,
yes,
trying to
yes.
support, that's where devotees actually make huge mistake.
Yes.
Many senior devotees who are doing nice preaching, taking care of so many people, but at some point they feel that they are responsible, like, you know, for everything that happens in those people's life, and if something managerially everything goes wrong, they become like very disturbed, and it's because we are not the controller, ultimately Krishna.
Yes.
So that's that's also a very important weakness in our
life. Yes, yes. Yeah, especially now, it's because before you could be more strong on, you know, control and that, but as people have less faith in authority and tradition and all that, the idea of equality and all, then you have to, you can, the controller and enjoyer then has to go to the back, you know, because everybody should be controller and enjoyer, but in such a way that they don't bother each other. That means basically nothing, but we can all be friends. And so then that's where that morality thing comes up, is because that's what establishes we're all friends. And political correctness is all about being friends. You know, but we're forgetting that Krishna, he's the friend. Yeah, no, very good one. Yeah? Yes, so that point, the statements indicating the difference between the soul and Paramatma are understood only by those elevated souls who desire to perform pure bhakti. Because you see the difference, because then you can serve. If you just see the oneness, then where's the service? Right? So that's the whole point, is that the difference means then there's two individuals, then you can interact, you can serve. Right?
So much.
Yeah.
This understanding that we are subservient to Lord is even like, you know, when whoever is the eternal associate, it's there always on the background, it's very clear. Otherwise, being in any relationship, they cannot put Krishna as center. Because they, like, you know, by default has this understanding clear that they are subservient to Lord, that's why they can. Though like Yashodama Mata is serving Krishna, it's all about him, it's not about her, it never comes in that platform any time. So that's why it's...
There has to be difference.
It has to be.
Yeah, the advance, it has to be. There's always that aspect of difference. But at the same time, is because of the commonality of serving, you know, pleasing Krishna, there's a oneness there. But that oneness comes on the other side of the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you make the oneness on this side, you get the impersonalism.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like that. You know, so yes. The oneness is on the other side. Yes. Is that it's oneness in mood and in values and in that kind of thing, the attitude.
Yes, yes.
So the qualities are the same, so that's where the sameness is. But you're an individual who has those same qualities.
Yes.
And so that combination, then, it can be used to serve. That's why he says it's only understood by those elevated souls who desire to perform pure bhakti. Yes.
So can we say that basically we're trying to balance between the Lord being transcendental and immanent?
Yes. But, I mean, you're balancing between those two and that we think we're the Lord and we are immanent. You know? That's the whole thing, is we think we're the controller and enjoyer. So that's the material side. You have to introduce that the Lord is there, but you have to keep it from him being material. He's immanent, so he's pervading everything. But at the same time, as he's doing that through his energy, so he is a person, as Bhagavan, is different. But as Paramatma and Brahman, he's taking care of all that and controlling all that. Otherwise, you'll think, you know, yeah, I go to the temple or I sit down and chant my rounds, and then the rest of the day it's you know, the real world. You know? So the point is that's an illusion. No, it's all Krishna's world. But you have to be able to see how it's Krishna's world. You know, and therefore what we do. So dharma means the laws of God. Right? And so therefore someone who's religious follows the laws of God. As we discussed yesterday, that following those laws are to regulate our life so that we come about be engaged in the devotion. Otherwise, the tendency is that you know, we'll only engage when we want something in that. But it has to be regulated so that we're there and it becomes, the heart becomes purified, we become used to that, and then we start thinking about Krishna.
It's only a question of identification.
Yes, it's a question of identification.
So why it is difficult to remember our own spiritual nature? We are servant of God.
Oh, why is it okay? Why is it difficult to remember our spiritual nature? Because we haven't been remembering it for like unlimited lifetimes.
Yes.
You know, it's just like with that, you have some practice and you remember something. But then let's say you haven't done that activity for some months or you can't remember. You kind of, a few basic, and that's just in some weeks or months or a few years, let alone, you know, lifetimes of Brahma.
Because it seems that if we identify as a Krishna, we accept it, there is no problem, more or less.
No.
But if you don't accept, there is only a problem.
Yes. Because as soon as you want to be the controller and enjoyer, then there's problem. As soon as there's an idea for material happiness, distress is born with it. They're like twins.
Yes.
You know, one may be the evil twin, but they're twins. And so, because you can't have one without the other, because material happiness is lessening of distress. You don't lessen distress, there is no happiness.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Let us say someone is in, they're in their fancy apartment. You know, they go down the lift straight to the car place, get in their fancy car. Drive out onto the tarmac, you know, get onto their fancy plane, land wherever they're landing, you know, that car is there to pick them up on the tarmac. They go wherever they're going. You know, it comes to the fancy hotel. They go inside, go up the elevator to their, you know, the fancy room. There's no enjoyment. There's no happiness. It's a pleasant situation. It's not physically disturbing, really. But there's no happiness because there's been no distress.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Now, take the same thing, and it's just going to go like that. But now let's say they get stuck in traffic, and they're sitting there for an hour. Now when they get to the hotel and go up to the room, now they're happy.
Yes.
You know? Does that make sense? Or they get to the hotel, they go to the counter, you know, say their name. Normally, yes, they come right this way and that, and you find out, oh, I'm sorry, that the presidential suite is being taken by, you know, some foreign minister and all that, so I'm sorry, we'll have to put you in, you know, and they're only leaving, you know, at noon, so... you know, have to keep you in this room for the, you know, the whatever it is, the next best one down for,
yes.
You know, a few hours. You know, please go take breakfast and then this and that. So then, when they do get the room, now they'll feel happy because they got stuck. So that's the whole thing, is that happiness and distress, they're twins. You can't have one without the other. Only if there's happiness, there'll be distress. There's a concept, I want to be happy like this, you're not getting that, you'll be distressed. When that distress is removed, that I get that, I'm called it happy. So that's the thing, on the material platform, there is no positive, it's not based on ananda. It's not based on a positive relationship with the Lord. It's just removing pain. So that's why liberation is not real ananda. They call it ananda because it's coming from the ananda aspect of the soul. But it's not real ananda because all it is just no trouble, that's all. Right? It's just nothing, you know. Is that that's the hope. I get rid of the material, but there's nothing. And so in comparison to the material, then I'll think that's very nice. But then after a while, you become conditioned to that, and then what? You know, then to increase happiness, you have to come back here to have trouble. You know. Does that make sense? So even some of the that's why they don't really have a problem. You're going to the heavenly planets, the karma, you go to the heavenly planets, you'll enjoy there, then you'll come back here. Then you perform your work again, and then you'll go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. You know, or you go to work and all that, then you get your vacation. You know, and after vacation, then, you know, it's all right to go back to work because vacation is just, you know, how many times can you go and see the same guy at the same place doing the same thing, you know? So you go back to work. And then from working, then you want a break, then you go on your holiday. Right? If it's just holiday, people go bad. If it's just work, then there's also a problem. So it has to go back and forth. You understand? So in the spiritual world, then you can always have that ananda, but within the ananda, then the variety is created. The pastimes, the difference, and all that. You know, therefore the separation, all these things. But because it's in connection with Krishna, both ways you're making profit. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like so many people now are losing money because of the situation. But there's others who are making ridiculous amount of money. They just know how to take advantage when the market goes down. You know what I'm saying? The good guys know how to take advantage, so when the market's going up. But even better can tell how to make when it's going down.
Best one is both ways.
Sorry?
Best one is both ways.
Yeah, if you can do both, it's even better. So that's the aspect is that the spiritual world, it's always, that's therefore it's ananda. On the material platform, it's not ananda. You're just removing some pain, and when it becomes removed enough according to your perspective, you call it happiness. Someone else wouldn't call that happiness. Does that make sense?
Rajan Prabhu was saying that those who produce supplements for the immune system, to boost the immune system,
yes,
their profit increased 500% last year.
Hmm. Yes.
The richest guy, 2,000%.
Sorry?
What is it?
2,000%. He was $30 billion, he's now $190 billion.
Really?
Elon Musk. Yes, it's not more about the electric cars, but he's producing the ventilators.
Or to get the fresh air.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the money is because of that.
Yes.
Show something else.
So it's just, you know, take advantage of the situation. You know, it's like you're saying in Mahabharata, when it's talking about when the Pandavas came back from Draupadi Swayambar, and so now they've come back, and everybody thought they were dead, but now they're alive. And so then it comes back, and then it was pointed out, better if you don't want any problems, you should separate the kingdom, give half the kingdom. And so then, you know, Duryodhana's not into that at all. This one, that one's complaining, but Dhritarashtra agrees. And then when he agrees, he tells them what's half of their kingdom, you know, which is their part of the kingdom, which is the half that's been cursed and is barren. It's actually a bigger chunk of the, it's a bigger piece by land mass, but nothing lives there. There's no villages, there's no settlements, there's not even animals, nothing lives there. So then Krishna went there with the Pandavas, and he called Indra, you know, and he got Vishwakarma to make the city and all that. And once everything's set up, then it mentioned that the traitors, the Vaishyas, they just came in on their own because they saw things are happening. So, you know, immediately come, let's do some business here. So you don't even have to, you know, they're smart. They can see, you know, there's people, there's something going on.
And no competition.
Yeah, no competition. They're the first ones there.
You can make more.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, Krishna gives everyone their special intelligence. You know, but of all intelligence, then the most special is being able to appreciate, you know, who we are and our relationship with Krishna and devotion. That's the supreme intelligence. And that's what's available to any living entity. While others, it's only according to your particular conditioning that particular intelligence is available. Like that. So. Okay. Finally, the author concludes the Adhikarna by describing the characteristics of the conditioned and liberated souls. In the liberated state, the soul exhibits similar qualities as the Lord and is engaged in His service. Whereas in the conditioned state, the soul's original identity is covered by the material upadis and is engaged in the material activities according to the dictation of the Lord's Maya Shakti. Thus, in either the conditioned and liberated states, the jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma for filling his desires. Right? Because you're subservient to the Lord in the spiritual platform in service, serving under his superior energies. And so there's a subservience to the Lord. And in that, then his desires are fulfilled in connection with his service. On the material platform, then he wants to enjoy, but it's still Krishna's energies take care through the material energy, the Maya Shakti. And so he's dependent upon the Lord's Shaktis for his enjoyment. So whatever state he's in, he is dependent. But it's only those who are, you know, have the association of the devotees understand their dependence. Like that. Anucheta 37. Now the jiva is a dependent sheshatva of Paramatma will be discussed. The jiva is an amsa, seshaha, of Paramatma, or is secondary to Paramatma. That is the jiva's nature, swabhava. This is the case at all times, sarvada, even when the jiva is liberated. That is jiva, I guess, the jiva sarup, swataha. Not that Brahman, when cut into pieces, becomes jiva. By the Lord's intrinsic inconceivable shakti, the Lord, the jiva is by nature dependent as an amsha, like a particle of a ray of light. Okay, a particle of a ray of light, okay. Jiva has the nature of being the Lord Shakti, because he is part of the Tathasta Shakti. Because he eternally takes shelter of the Lord, being like his ray, because he is separate from the Lord, being different, and because he is a medium of the Lord in the production of the material world. Since Pradhan is an insentient substance, he remains in a state of equilibrium until the Lord places the jiva in it. Hetor jivosya sarga dehe. The cause of sarga and visarga of the universe is the jiva, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.18. Right? So it's because he has the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, that's then the cause of creation. Just like, you know, breakfast is created because the child's hungry. Right? So that's what's working there. Right? Because if the child wasn't there or something, they're over at grandma's house, then the parents might just sit in bed all day. You know? So unless they get hungry, then there's not going to be anything happening. The following describes the jiva as the shakti of the Lord by distinguishing his particular nature. Vishnu shakti para propta kshetra gyakya tatapara avidya karma samgyaya Tritiya Shaktir Ishyate. Vishnu has his spiritual Shakti, the Jiva Shakti, and the third Shakti, Achit, called Avidya Karma. Taya Tiro Hita Tvachcha Shakti Kshetragya Samjita Sarva Bhuteshu Bhupala Tarat Tamyena Vartmane. The jiva, because of being covered by the Maya Shakti, exists in various states in various bodies. Vishnu Purana 6-7, 61-63. Taratamya.
The first one, Vishnu has the spiritual Shakti, the jiva Shakti, and the third Shakti, Achit Shakti.
Yes, the external energy. Internal, marginal and external.
So that's external called Avidya Karma.
Can be Avidya Karma, it's Achit, you have Chit, and then you have Achit. Yeah, Chit, Achit, Ishwara. I mean, Chit, Achit, Ishwara means that. So you have different ways that you can use the names. So, Avidya Karma, because it's activity in ignorance. While in the spiritual world, it's activity in proper understanding. Like that. So it's under the Jnana Shakti, right? So you have Ichakriya Jnana. So the Jnana is the situation that you're in, is the place, it's the, you know, everybody's forms and what activities they can do and their relationships and everything like that. So using that all in connection with the Lord, then that's the Jnana Shakti. Now when you take the same situation and don't see it in connection with the Lord, that's the Avidya Shakti. So then the karma that you'll perform in the Vidya Shakti will be devotional service. Right, but in the Avidya Shakti, that will just be pious or impious activities. So, yeah. Apareyam itas tvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagata. This is my inferior energy. But understand my spiritual energy, which is different from this inferior energy. It is the jivas who employ the inferior energy for their enjoyment. Right? It's that way then all the transformations, everything is taking place because the jiva wants to enjoy. In the Vishnu Purana verse, says the third Shakti, matter, is separately classed. The idea that the jiva Shakti arises from a relationship of Brahman with Maya Shakti is refuted. Right? He says the spiritual, the jiva, he does not saying one, two, three, he's saying the spiritual Shakti, the jiva, and then the third Shakti.
Yes.
So he's differentiating. So that means then the jiva Shakti already exists before the manifestation of this avidya. So he's not manifest from. Otherwise he would also say spiritual Shakti, the avidya, and then the jiva.
Yes.
Right?
So Maharaj, in the spiritual world, there is only two shaktis, spiritual and jiva.
That's all that's manifest, yes.
That's manifest.
Because the point is where that's come from, everything's all originally coming from the internal potency.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Then there's a transformation, then you get that external. But how it works in that is still under the rules that how the internal potency works. It's just temporary. Because it's the influence, like we said, sandini, samvit, and hladini, on the material energy. Then hladini, you get, that means sandini, you'll get the 14 worlds. Then samvit, you'll get the material knowledge, you know, of how to work with that. And then hladini will give you the material so-called happiness. So. It exists separately as its nature. Thus the Gita says, Mamai Vamsa, the jiva is my amsha, Bhagavad Gita 15:7. And thus it is said, Apareyam itas tvanyam. Separate from the material Shakti is the jiva Shakti, Bhagavad Gita 7:5. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 5:11-12, Kshetragya eta manaso vibhutihi. The word Kshetragya, knower of the body, continues to be used even when the jiva is pure. since the word kshetra is used in a generic sense, not just to indicate a material body. Like kshetra means he'll know, he'll understand the, you know, himself and the place that he's in. Thus, though the jiva is shakti, it is not different. It is different from the material shakti, since it is called tatastha. It is called tatastha because it cannot be classed as maya, since it surpasses maya shakti, being conscious. And it cannot be classed as paramatma, since paramatma is not subject to jiva's fault of being overcome by ignorance. Though it is the shakti of paramatma, paramatma is not tinged by jiva's faults, just as the sun is not covered, though one ray of the sun can be covered by shadow. Narada Pancharatra describes the tatastha position. Yat tatashtam tuchit rupam swa samvedyad vinirgatam ranjitam gunara ragena sajiva iti katyate. The jiva is called tatastha because it is a conscious form which, leaving its knowledge of itself, becomes tinged by the attraction to material gunas. Right, so they have knowledge of the self, but if they don't use that, they leave that, and they think I'm the enjoyer, then that's now when they become attracted by the material gunas. Because the internal potency is not going to present opportunities for your sense gratification. It's presenting opportunities for service to Krishna. So if we want to use those situations for ourselves, then she gives you the material energy. Thus, in Vishnu Purana also, the jiva is classed as being in an intermediate position. In Shruti also, the jiva is considered distinct from the Lord. Asman mayi srijate vishvam etat tasmims chanyo mayaya san niruddha. Brahma creates this universe by the Lord's power. In the universe, the jiva is overcome by maya. Svetasvatara Upanishad 4.9. Tayor anyaf pipalam svadvati. Of the two, the jiva eats the fruit of the pipala tree. Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1. In Vishnu Purana it is said, Vibheda janake jnane nasham atyantikam gate. Atmano brahmano bedam asantam ka karishyati. When ignorance produced by seeing the differences because of various bodies is destroyed, who would not see difference between the jiva and the Lord? Vishnu Purana 6.7.94. Everyone should see the difference between the jiva and the Lord, right? So when the ignorance is removed of seeing yourself, by the upadis, but when that's done, you still see yourself as servant of the Lord. You can still tell the difference between yourself and the Lord. While my bodies will say it's not like that. The word ashantam indicates if one were to think there was no difference, it would be completely incorrect. Even in the state of liberation, the jiva does not lose his identity as an amsha, since he is by nature a shakti of the Lord. Right? So if he's self-revealing, the point is, as he gets purified and goes beyond the modes, then he'll, by the Lord's grace, see that he is still an amsha of the Lord. You don't become the Lord. By the Lord's grace, now you become the Lord, and then he's only working with himself, so you don't exist, so then what's the whole point? So why is it we in our separate conscious have to think I have to get back to emerging in Brahman if Brahman himself is the conscious entity who they then becomes the jiva and that, so the thinking's from that side. That will give rise to the one Purusha philosophy. But if that's there, then why do we even need to endeavor? We're just an illusion anyway. So, yeah. In the state of liberation, I'm being freed from ignorance and being situated in his sarup. The jiva attaining the Lord attains qualities similar to the Lord. Shruti says, Niranjana param samyam upaiti. The pure jiva attains similarity to the Lord. The Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.3. Those who have attain qualities similar to mine, by realizing this knowledge through Guru, do not take rebirth in this world and do not experience pain at the time of death. Bhagavad Gita 14.2. Also it is said, Brahma Veda Brahmaiva Bhavati. Knowing the Lord, a person becomes like the Lord. Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.9. Doesn't say he becomes the Lord. Like. Right? Tat swa bhav vyapatir upapattehe. The jiva attains qualities similar to the Lord's. Brahma Sutra 3.1.23. Being the Lord Shakti, sometimes the two are equated, because the Shakti and the Shaktiman are intimately connected with each other. Since in the absence of the Shaktiman, Shakti is also absent, because they are both conscious entities. Still, it is not improper to point out difference, since one sees various Shaktis in one particular object. The followers of Ramanuja consider the designation of non-difference of Jiva and the Lord, the controlled and the controller, to be like designating the individual and species of a cow. Vishnu Purana thus says, right? Now you have cows and then you have the one cow. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So they're the same, but they're different. Like that. So they're bringing out, but they'll emphasize one aspect. While we don't, they both go together. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Vishnu Purana thus says, Yoyam tava gato deva samipam devata ganaha satvam eva jagat shrashta tata sarvam Sata sarva gato bhavan. O Lord, whatever devata comes in front of you, you are he, since you are the creator of the universe and pervade everywhere. Sarvam samapsnosi tato pi sarvaha. You pervade everywhere, and therefore you are everything. Bhagavad Gita 11.40. For those desiring jnana, the Lord teaches scriptures of non-difference. And for the devotee, the Lord teaches scriptures of difference. Sometimes the jiva is called a reflection of the Lord. Tata purusham atmanam ekam adarsha chakshushoho. Dvidha bhutam aveksheta tataivantaram avayoho. Just as a man, though one entity, will the image of himself in a mirror, and in the eye are
will see.
Okay, yeah.
Just as a man,
though one entity, will see the image of himself in a mirror and in the eye are different, you should see that I and you are also different. Because that's the whole thing, because he's conscious, therefore even his reflection is conscious. And so then we are a part of that. We're not the full. We're a part. Like that.
It was said just before that someone who desires jnana sees the non-difference, means like Ramavadi or impersonalism.
Yes, yes.
And someone who wants bhakti sees the difference, the light of God.
Yes, yes.
So it's just a question to know, to change our desire.
Yes.
It's just that. But it seems that the Mayavadis, they are very fixed not to want bhakti.
Yes, because bhakti means you're subservient.
Yes.
They don't want to be subservient. I mean, that's why the sannyasis call each other Narayan.
Yes.
You know, because they want to establish that, you know, we're the Lord, we're, you know, like that. So that's their whole thing, is being in that very, you know, special position.
Yes.
So that's all about prestige and all that, even though it's all about giving everything up on the material. But as long as that it's like this, all this material prestige is bogus, so therefore I give that all up, and I should be recognized for that.
Yes.
You know. You know, it's a bit incongruous, but you know that's material nature. She's very clever, right? She covers you. See, that's the thing, because before we were always asking, why do they come up with these things? That's because they're covered by the, what do you call it? Which is it? The Jiva Maya.
Jiva Maya.
Right? They're covered by Jiva Maya, so they don't see things as they are. And then through Guna Maya, then they're given all these different things to identify and work with and everything like that. So people just don't see because of this Jiva Maya. So that's the whole idea, is that when we go above these modes, when we go above Maya, then you can see yourself as you are. So the importance is the difference. Right? There's oneness, but you are seeing the difference. Does that make sense?
That we need to practice bhakti, just to be open.
Yes.
To bhakti.
That's why I made the point that the previous page was, the previous page. Unless it was the previous page to the previous page to the previous page. Oh yeah, the statements indicating the difference between the soul and the paramatma are understood by only those elevated souls who desire to perform pure bhakti. There's others, they're trying to be the Lord, so they're not wanting to see the difference. So you're raising yourself from the material platform, the spiritual platform, by seeing how, you know, the Lord pervades everything and his energies and all that. But then on that platform now, how are you going to engage that in Krishna's service?
Yes.
So the whole idea is that you remove the material perception by seeing it's all Krishna. Yes. But now being Krishna, now you, being subservient, we serve Krishna. So now in this situation, that's Krishna. How are you going to use this to serve Krishna? Because you're always going to see the difference. Even though the oneness is there, it's the difference that's important. Bhakti happens because of difference. Right, saying?
And if for example, for a devotee who for one reason stopped to perform devotional service, automatically he come back to, it can be jnana or karma.
Yeah, can come back to jnana or karma, yes. Like that. Means temporarily. Once someone's taken up devotional service, it's just a matter of time before he goes back to Godhead.
Yes.
So you can either do it in one lifetime, or if you want, you can take a few more.
This is the difficulty of mixed devotional service.
Yes. With mixed devotional service, you may take others as more important. Because what's important to you is what you think of at the time of death.
Yes.
So if something else is important to you, then that's what you're going to be doing. You know, it's just like Prabhupada tells about that one gentleman. He was, you know, very wealthy, but not so old. And he had some kind of, you know, terminal disease, and he's just asking the doctor, can you give me 4 more years, because then I can finish all my plans. So then he'll be thinking about this plan or that plan, or, you know, this person or that person. And so then, you know. Yes.
What is this aspect of, like, covering of the Jiva Maya? It's very subtle, and nobody understands. And then I think it comes a little later or in here. The first identification of the jiva to the material world is that covering. He already identifies with the material world. Now when then the gunas come, and then he has that ego, which is the subtle element ego, then there it's very gross, like he identifies with the Gunamaya.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people who are working, for example, sometimes devotees are mesmerized by the psychologists, how their therapy has a nice effect on people. They at max can change or play around with the identify with the guna maya,
mm-hmm.
but the jiva maya they can never touch because they themselves
they're completely controlled by it.
Because the guna maya, then mind, intelligence, ego, then with your functioning of mind and intelligence, that the ego also, because of the external situation, that it can be changed because you are changing the elements on which you function.
Yeah.
But because the guna jiva maya is already there, whether you move from here to here, it will be again a problem.
In the same maya, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Does that make sense? Mm. Yeah.
So can we say that the jiva maya happens on the level of karna sharira? Is that right?
Yes, yes. The karna sharira is the jiva maya.
Before the linga and stula sharira happens.
Yes.
Okay.
But at the same time, as she can also, again, means, in other words, when there's an opportunity for something, she'll bring up that you're the controller and enjoyer. Having brought that up, now she can cover you with the gunamaya. So it may be regularly being brought up. You know, it's just like you see a situation, hey, you want to get involved? No. You just look at the situation. So the gunamaya doesn't mean anything to you. But then when I point out how you can enjoy and all that, then you start looking at it, and now she can... Now that being covered there, now she can cover you with the guna maya.
This is the whole point of advertisement.
Yes,
you
were going to say advertisement.
You don't want it. And then, again and again, maybe I want it. And then you're buying it. That's it.
It means it starts at the airport, so by the time you get to the city, you buy it. And if you're sitting in the back seat, then you can do it online, and you've already ordered it before you even arrive. So if you get the same day delivery, then when you get there, then it'll be waiting for you. Yeah. So that's all that's happening is that these material, they're just learning how to use the material energy. They're taking advantage of the maya that the jiva's in and making that, their methodology on how they do business, how they control the governments, how they use the knowledge like that, so that's the fun part. If you see the mechanics of it, then you can see how the karmis are working. That they're definitely jivas. They're acting in this way simply because they're jivas. Right? And the material energy works in the same way because it's Krishna's energy. And so they, as at Amsa of Krishna, then work with Krishna's energies on the same principles because they're jivas. You know, they need an identity, they need that security, they need the knowledge and the skills so they can perform an activity because they want to be happy. So everybody's wanting to be happy. Even if they're doing destructive activities, those destructive activities make them happy. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like one kid is doing something and building something. Let's say he's taking blocks and building, and he's becoming happy. Another kid comes along, and he doesn't become happy by building. He comes happy by knocking yours down. And then he laughs, and then he runs off. So everyone's simply trying to be happy. It's just that some the perversion simply in the mentality is making myself happier than Krishna, but the form they're using is pious. It's recommended. While others, then it becomes distorted, and then they're not using recommended. Does that make sense? So at one end you have somebody who's pious and following the laws of God, but for the material benefit he'll get. And at the other end you have the Texas Chainsaw Massacres. Right. Does that make sense? So it's just, they're still going to act in the thing of being conscious, mm-hmm. having knowledge, and that knowledge is to help them endeavor for happiness. So their position, their identity, their knowledge they use to gain happiness. So that's the Satchidananda. They can't not work in that way. So when you start seeing this way, then you see it's like Prabhupada says, these pure devotees, they don't see the material world. They see Krishna's energy acting. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, what do you call it? Everyone's there, things are going on, and a problem like that, big obstacles and that, and then the one is able to see the descending, numerical green lines, and then he can tell what's going on. Now he can change everything, right? No? It's the same principle. So where did they get that from? That's from this. Just the last lifetime they were some kind of, you know, thing like this, and in this lifetime then they write these things. Yeah, otherwise, where the guys, you know, something like Tolkien has to be like a Puranika in his last life. Otherwise, why does he get into all the things, the ancient, the dynasties, and what everybody does? And it's complete. It's not, you know, what they dress, their culture, everything, their relationships. All you can write the whole history. Like that. Because that's what they were doing before, you know. Or someone like Bach or Beethoven, that they were musicians before. You know, in India. And then somehow or another they're not... They're pious enough to maintain human birth, but not pious enough to maintain their birth within the Vedic purview. And so then they end up there, and then we think, oh, they're such great people. You know, but before he was even... He could do even more. Does that make sense? Huh? Yeah, so you can see how it's working. Then you understand. Now everybody's working the same. You know, Prabhupada, see, the pigeons are there, right? You know, we see them here, the doves come in. One dove will be sitting there, the other dove will come along, puff themselves up, you know, try to make an impression. The other one just walks off.
Yes.
You know, so Prabhupada laughed, and he says, oh, even in the animal species, the girls play hard to get, right?
Yes,
you know, the girl's interested. Well, otherwise, why is she sitting there? Is there something to eat down there? Right? It's like it's really happening there. She's eating. No, she's just there. But when the guy comes along, then it's like, what's going on? What are you? Okay, you know, then it goes. Right? And you see the difference. When she's sitting there, he flies down kind of, you know, just flies down. But when she flies off, then he flies very quickly. You know, he already caught her attention. You know, so it's working.
We can learn very much by seeing the animals.
Yes. So that Prabhupada's point is this is how Krishna's energies work.
Yes.
And so even you can see it with the animals and everything. Yes. You know, Prabhupada's pointing out that the plants have intelligence because they're going to where the light is.
Yes.
You know, you have a tree, and there's another tree here, and this is a bigger tree. This tree goes over like this.
Yes. Yes.
That's intelligence. It can tell where's the sun. And where's the shade? So intelligence means being able to tell the difference between things. You know, or the similarities. So it knows over here is sun, so it grows that way. So that's intelligence. So you can see in this way. So Prabhupada's saying. And so then you see everybody does everything by the same things. It's all... So the more you know the mechanics, the more you can see how it works. But seeing how it works is only important in as much as it enhances your inspiration and devotional service. Otherwise, just to know the knowledge and not use it for service, then what's the point? This again is stated in order to aid the vision of non-difference for those desiring jnana. The jiva is not actually a reflection of the Lord. Even the proponents of non-difference must see the contradiction in such an example. Right? Because if you're non-different, there's still a difference between the Lord and the reflection. So even they say the reflection aspect, but the point is that still there's a difference.
What will they gain if they are a reflection of the Lord?
Because then if you're a reflection of the Lord, then they are the Lord. It's the whole idea is by hook or by crook, to become the Lord. Because now I'm trying to control and enjoy and I'm not getting anywhere. Right? But we hear read about the Brahman as the supreme happiness and that, so if I become that Brahman, then I'll be supremely happy.
Whom they're trying to prove it to?
To themselves. You know, it's just like, I want to follow up myself. It's very rare you find a person that they have their philosophy and they sit on their own and couldn't care less what anybody else thinks. But that's because they think their position is better and so they just don't want to deal with anybody else. Right? You know, Diogenes in his barrel or whatever he was sitting in. But most people, they have their philosophy and then they feel better, more of a controller, if others agree with it. Hence all these modern political positions is that they're dependent upon others appreciating it. If others don't appreciate it, that it just dies. But if others appreciate, then it goes up and they become more proud and more confident, even though it's wrong. So that's the thing. The more they preach, the more people agree with it, the better they feel. Because now is that, let's say you have the whole community is appreciating the impersonal philosophy, therefore the person that's more advanced in that impersonal understanding and practice, he'll be respected. And that's the whole point of it, is that to be that respected, to be in that position of authority or whatever, all these things. That's the whole motive. They want to be God, so that's just, they don't see that this is the difference. Because I'm thinking I'm God and people are respecting me for that and I'm getting this adulation. Right? And so therefore it's all part of me being God. They're not distinguishing because of this, because of the Jiva Maya. They're not distinguishing that that's material prestige. Right? It's material prestige by material people through the material senses on a material platform. But they don't see it that way because they're covered by Jiva Maya because they want to be the enjoyer. So they think, because I'm God, now people are respecting me. They worship God, and I'm God, so they're worshiping me. They don't understand that it's material. So the worship of God, that has a spiritual thing, but the worship of them is material. So it all comes down to that point of one, control and enjoy. Yeah. Yes?
Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the 10th canto, he mentions that point that the proof that the Mayavad philosophy is wrong is that they try to prove that they are God. Mm-hmm. But Krishna didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to prove that he is God.
Mm. Yes,
he didn't
yes.
practice, he didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
He's completely independent of an external whatever, energy or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's complete within himself.
Yes.
But them trying to prove who they are means they aren't.
Yes, yes. Yes, very good. Yes, and then in illusion they think they become God, even though God doesn't have to prove He's God.
Yeah. Ultimately, it means their identity is weak. There's a thickness in their
yes.
identity.
So that's the thing in the chit aspect, and you see, therefore they emphasize so much upon their existence and all that. And the more people that agree with it, the more safe they feel. Hence, you know, if you have a you have a mundane perspective based on upadis, it doesn't fly in a Krishna conscious movement. You start your own society and now you're the leader of that, and then then you get people that will go along with it because, of course, it's material. Who doesn't want to maintain upadis? And so then in that way you feel good. Like that. So Am bhuvad agra hanad natu tatatvam. There is no identity because one does not see distinction between the Lord and the Jiva, as one sees distance between the sun and water, to cause the reflection. Brahma Sutra 3:2.19. The example of the reflection is accepted because of some similarity only. Right? So there is some element that's similar, but it's not complete. That's the point with analogies, is how much it's similar to that degree it's useful. So this and a very specific thing, you know, for the jnanis to show that oneness, then that's brought out because then they'll be inspired to try for spiritual development. And so because they're trying for that, that's uplifting. And it's an example to the public that to be detached and with knowledge try to uplift your position. But it's not complete until it's come in line with the devotees. And so then you see it that I'm not the material, I'm servant of the Lord. Like that. But it just starts the process. You know, it's just like you might tell the child, you know, if you do this and this, then, you know, you'll get something. And then they do their homework or something. But it's not about that, you know, for them, it's not about the homework. It's about, you know, getting a cookie or something. But for the parents, it's about doing the homework. You know? And so with time, then they start to, you know, get good at that, and then they appreciate, and so then they can switch. So by good association, that can switch. Otherwise, the cookie turns into a Lamborghini. More difficult to arrange. Vridhi rasa bhaktvam antara bhavad ubhaya sam saman jasyad evam. The comparison with the sun is accepted in the sense that it illustrates the nature of greatness of the Lord and dependence of the jiva, since this is included in the scriptural conclusion and harmonizes the elements of the comparison. Brahma Sutra 3.2.20. Right, so it's trying to bring out that you have these aspects. That's what you're trying to see. But otherwise, it means being an amsha of the Lord, there is no space between us and the Lord. Because the Lord pervades everything in that, so there is no space. So here you're giving that, you're using time and space, that you have space between the sun and the water, therefore there's a reflection. Does that make sense? So it has to be understood as, like we were saying, is that the examples are used in as much as they get the point across. We're trying to bring the transcendental understanding to a position where we, in our particular conditioned state, can relate to it. And then from that, then if there's that sincerity, then Krishna reveals step by step. But otherwise, that devotional service is not dependent upon these examples. It's independent. But the example helps us relate to it. Does that make sense? Because we go from something we know, because we know sun, we know sunshine, we know reflections, you know, we know the tree right side up and upside down. We may didn't think about it that tree is upside down, but we can relate to it. You know, like you know, you're on one side of the lake and you look across and you see the mountain and the water, and then you look up and then there's the mountain going up, you know. And so it's a very popular picture, no? That people like to take when they're out. It's that reflection. Because you see the one and then the other. And so, you know, people like the material situation. But that's what it's there. We can relate to it. Gita also shows that the jiva is eternally an amsa of Paramatma. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The jivas are my amshas eternally. Bhagavad Gita 15.6. Even the totality of jivas, samasti, is called amsha. Esha yashesha sattvanam atmamsha paramatmanaha adyo vataro yatrashau bhuta gramo vibhavyate. This universal form is the soul of unlimited beings. It is an amsha of Paramatma. It is seen as the original avatar. Within this form, all living beings appear. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.6.98. The universal form is the soul, atma, of the individual beings, asesha sattvanam. It is called amsha since jiva, or the totality of jivas, is an amsha of the Lord. This form is called an avatar since Narayan appears within it. Sukha spoke thus, the verse. Right, so the whole thing is that we identify with the material energy, all the upadis, but that upadis is all part of the universal form. Universal form is pervading everything, and from that everything comes up, all upadis. And we identify with that, so that's actually the main thing. And that is an expansion of the Lord. It's his energy. So it's the original avatar in the universe. Right? Because that form, that's Garbhadaksha. Controlling all that, and who does what, and who's in which one, and who gets which part, and all that, that's Giridaksha. So in that way, it's the Amsha of Paramatma. Yes, everyone has it.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.